about.
I do not really understand what is going on right now, but no matter what, you must keep going.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Can't let a girl feel good about herself. It will backfire on you. Every compliment has to be backhanded. Oh, I like your dress, but I'd like it more if you had prettier hair.
Oh, that feels good. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. No. Don't do that. Oh, yes.
I think if you check the tape, you'll realize how wrong you are. And I think you'll apologize. And I think you'll say, I should send something, and you won't. Because you're too wrapped up in yourself.
And now.
Just the whole Muslim thing and everything. I mean, everybody's still kind of, a lot of people have forgotten about 9/11, but I don't know. It's just kind of a little unnerving.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good point.
I know, right?
She makes a good point.
Yeah. A lot of people have forgotten about 9/11. That is actually true.
What about this?
Oh, my God, it's raining!
That is also true.
What about that? This is a winner for the record books in Southern California, isn't it?
Woo!
Like, people are going to be able to tell their grandkids about the wicked weather they survived back in 1213. About,
man,
that vicious winter.
Seriously, it got down to like 51 and it rained a couple days.
It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be stories for the ages. Speaking of stories from the ages, before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, we do have a dandy for you. I'm going to read the headline, and you guys see if you can guess what state
Florida, the penis of America.
Cops taser naked burglar who masturbated when homeowner pulled a gun. Now, this is exactly the kind of story you expect to see from Florida, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It sounds like he started with his activity after the neighbor pulled the gun?
Yes.
What?
Yes, that is what happened.
How is that your response?
That's one of many questions you will have about this young man once I tell you what he did. Deputies in Fort Myers, Florida say they tasered and then arrested a naked Florida man who broke into a home to steal a television but then masturbated after the homeowner pulled a gun. Lee County Sheriff's deputies said they were called to a home in North Fort Myers on Monday. The resident heard noises on the roof of his home. He went outside and this man, Gregory Bruni, 21 years old, jumped from the roof and knocked him down. All right, so the guy hears the noises. He goes outside. The homeowner goes outside, gets knocked down by a dude who then runs inside the house. All right, drops off the roof, runs into my house. He ran immediately to the television set and broke the 72-inch TV off the wall. Did he think he could grab a 72-inch TV and then just run out the door with
just
it?
Is that running?
Must have, yeah. For some reason, he dropped the TV. Maybe it was heavier than he expected. It broke, by the way. The suspect then grabbed a vacuum cleaner and spilled the contents onto the floor.
Yeah, he'll show him.
His wife, the homeowner's wife, by the way, fires 3 shots from a .38 revolver.
Ooh.
To scare the man and calm the man down and warn the man, perhaps. At that point, the burglar, Bruni, falls to the floor to begin masturbating. Then he jumps up, runs to the kid's room in the house, and starts rubbing his face all over the kid's clothing.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
The homeowner calls 911 and says he's laying on my floor. He's running my effing house naked, hooting and hollering and tearing ish up. The husband held a shotgun on the man until the police arrived. It even gets stranger. When deputies arrived, they said that Bruni, again, the burglar, was flailing around on the floor and not making any sense. At one point, he sucked the water from the spilled vacuum into his mouth and then spilled it back out. He was eventually shocked with a taser. He tried to flee three times. Deputies later discovered that the man had pooped near the front door in a hallway of the residence as well.
I say bath salts.
Me too.
Right?
It has to be.
This
right?
story has everything. That's unbelievable.
When did he have time to poop, I wonder? It sounds like he was pretty busy with the kids' clothes and with the masturbating and with the vacuum cleaner and with the TV set. When did he make time to poop?
It sounds like he can multitask.
It does, yeah. He's doing 2 or 3 things at the same time.
He could be really efficient if he could channel that energy.
Maybe he did it while trying to take the TV off the wall.
So somebody should be hiring this guy and give him a whole bunch of jobs.
Yes.
Right.
The suspect was taken to Lee Memorial Hospital. Doctors had not yet been able to determine what the man was on.
Wow.
It's got to be bath salts.
He better hope he was on something, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he cuckoo.
Oh, my God.
But imagine, look, this guy who lives in this house was you or me just sitting around having an average day. Imagine what that does to your head when all of a sudden these events unfold in your home.
You also grab your gun thinking, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
As soon as I pull my gun,
yeah,
this all stops. The guy falls to the ground, starts to masturbate. You go,
can I shoot him for that?
But wait a minute. Look, I have a gun. What are you doing?
Lisa, put that down.
Would you rather have a guy smash your 72-inch TV or masturbate in your house?
I don't know. A 72-inch TV is pretty great.
It's a pretty nice TV.
I'm going to choose masturbating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can clean that
he always does.
Anyway, congratulations, Florida. Once again, you are the jewel of the nation.
Good job,
fantastic.
Florida.
Fantastic.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. That story had everything. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What difference at this point does it make?
Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Oh, that could make a difference.
That's correct. He's got
answers. Saving lives.
He's got answers for questions. Maybe we could ask him about the bath salt guy.
Good idea.
Get his idea of what's going on with that. We also have from the movie Hansel and Gretel, we have Gemma Arterton. Whoa, hey, yes.
Don't break it.
Yes. And that's officially the first time I've ever said her name right.
That's true.
I slowed it down. Arterton. It's difficult for me. Bobcat Goldthwait will be here.
Oh, we haven't seen Bobcat in a long time.
Oh, oh, not that many.
Oh, sorry. That was still left over for Gemma.
Doto.
International, what?
International Man of Mystery. This is a process that you people would not believe of emailing and Facebooking and tweeting, and we send up smoke signals. We send somebody over to his house, and we ask direct questions like, at what time can we call you tomorrow? And he'll write back, yes, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, and it's a tag team effort. No one person on the show has ever been able to wrangle Doto on his own. Like, I'll have to email him, and then Omar will have to Facebook him, and then he'll text Dave. I mean, that's pretty much how it works. And it's a big round robin as we try to like circle in. It's like the FBI just trying to circle in on a criminal. But eventually we're able to get him tied up and nailed down. So today's the day, apparently.
Doto.
How long has it been since we've had Doe on?
International Man of Mystery. It's been
Before Christmas, I know that.
It's been a long time. He travels a lot. And when he goes overseas, apparently, we always bring this up. He says, I'm in Hong Kong, Kevin.
I'm Hong Kong,
I'm
Kevin.
Hong Kong. Okay. And we always say the same thing, which is, don't they have phones in Hong Kong?
Well, I did get a very cryptic email from him a few weeks ago where he explained to me that his life was a living hell. So I have no idea what's going on with Doe. But
no.
But we definitely need to catch up.
Can't wait. Also, brand new citizen of the day we will tell you about. And some people in Ireland, some kind of city council, decided that they should allow moderate drunk driving. Moderate. They don't want to go too far.
It is Ireland.
But if you're moderately drunk, we'll give you a pass.
You can't arrest everyone, Kevin.
Not in
Ireland.
True.
That's true. There aren't enough jails. I think the resting blood alcohol rate in that city must be like 1.2. I mean, that's just the baseline in Ireland.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. And then if it's if it's double that, maybe they'll think about bringing you in. But that just seems like perhaps the worst idea ever.
This is a mess.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I just missed it that time. Uh-huh. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. I started talking before my mic was on.
You sure did.
That happened.
Ralph is here with his mic on with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we're starting to learn some very disturbing dark things about sweetheart Justin Bieber.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Did he indeed cheat on Selena Gomez during their relationship? Well, if you believe the sources who talked to Star Magazine, yes. It all happened one night when he was smoking a lot of pot with his buddy, rapper Lil Twist. And there was a young lady there named Mimi Jensen. Mimi and Justin apparently sucked down some scissorp.
That's alleged.
And that's when he made his move on Mimi. Word is, they knocked boots, boys and girls.
Well,
after scissorp. Scissorp and sex. They go hand in hand, my friends.
Weed and scissorp and sex.
The dangers of scissorp. Little scrawny white Justin Bieber, Canadian little flat-billed Justin Bieber, drinking the scissorp with the rappers.
Yeah.
Can he die? Can he just die?
Really, you hate him that much?
Yeah. That'd be great.
But on the other hand, he's 18 and millions of beautiful women want to have sex with him. It would be a surprise if he didn't cheat on his girlfriend at this point.
But his whole thing is like, I'm going to try to act as black as I can.
Oh, there's shtick. That going on, sure.
That is just so repugnant. Bro. He's just a little weasel. He's just a little weasel.
Yeah.
Fine, he's rich and he's 18. That's enough for him. He's had enough years. He doesn't need to be a rich 19-year-old.
But we always ask this, Ralph. If you're 18 and you have that kind of success, that kind of money, and all women want you,
mm-hmm.
How faithful are you being at 18?
You know what I'm not trying to do? Be Tupac. I'm not going to put on gold chains and a wife beater and a flat-billed hat sideways. And say, yo, 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 what's with all the questions, bro?
I think you are.
I'm not doing that. That's not happening.
I've heard you do it a dozen times on this show alone.
That's right.
He needs someone to explain things to
him. Like Tupac got it explained to him.
That's right. More sad news out of the world of rapping. You know, Coco, Ice-T's wife, Coco.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
She's apparently in some big, big trouble.
Oh, what's going on with her?
Well, didn't you see those photos of her in AP...
I did not.
Another rapper. Apparently they were in Vegas at some club, and he Instagrammed photos of the two of them kissing over each other.
Yes.
And it caused quite a stir. Ice-T was on the Twitter talking about it, how disrespected he was. And
I don't think you want to cross Ice-T.
That's what I was thinking. Of all the guys you want to get upset with, you don't want to make him uncomfortable with you.
Hmm.
So they apparently had worked it out. This was over the holidays. But now... AP is bragging that he's got more photos of Coco he has not posted yet because he's trying to sell them of the two of them in his private room in Vegas, her totally naked on the bed doing various and sundry things.
Oh, boy.
Looking for a buyer for those photos.
Dude.
Any mention of scissor?
No scissor, but I'm sure there was scissor. You know how they are, the rappers with the scissor. They love it.
They do.
Now, other men have come forward and said they have had trysts with Coco.
Uh-oh.
And there are sexy texts and other photos that may be still forthcoming. We'll see. And I look at Coco and I say, she seems like such a reserved, demure young girl.
That's
I'm surprised
true.
To think that she would be out whoring around.
That's true.
Because she doesn't dress provocatively. She doesn't put her sexuality out there for the world to see. She seems like she's got it under control. Oh, wait a minute.
You know, I think she does.
Yeah, I think she does,
dress
too.
Provocatively.
She's doing an ass shoot right now while we talk about her. She likes to show her ass.
I don't know how she doesn't show
That's
her
true.
Ass.
That's true. You would
to
have
honest.
To show her ass if you were her, wouldn't you?
Yep.
TV news. Mad Men fans, rejoice. It's official. AMC has announced, as of yesterday, the sixth season of Mad Men will kick off on Sunday, April the 7th. Circle your calendars, boys and girls. We have
Kevin,
Mad Men.
Is this going to be the season, Kevin, that you're going to get into it?
No, I've given up on that.
Oh, Kevin. You are depriving yourself of one of the great TV experiences we've all had. Ever.
Yeah, I got a lot in my
I
life.
Know, you're very busy. Yeah, I know.
I have a lot of time for
so
more
much,
TV shows.
So much soccer.
I do have a lot of soccer to watch.
And some sad TV news. The sitcom Ben and Kate has been axed by Fox Network.
No kidding. I thought it was really popular.
It never got the ratings, Lisa. It was critically acclaimed. People who watched it really enjoyed it and talked it up, but it just never did what they needed, so that show's going away, which is a shame.
I was surprised as well. I guarantee they won't replace it with something better.
Well, they're gonna have reruns of Raising Hope. They're gonna put that in its place.
All right,
so it's got that going for it. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton, you know her from The OC,
mm-hmm.
27 years old today. Kristen Schaal, one of our favorites around here from Flight of the Conchords. I guess that's where most of us. We're first introduced to her as the crazy stalking fan.
The only one. Mm-hmm. She was great.
Also joined 30 Rock towards the end of its run. 35 years old.
As a crazy stalking fan.
That's right. Ed Helms of The Office is 38. Matthew Lillard, talented actor, is 43 years old. And the legend, the classic, the man, the myth, the legend, Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond.
Yay!
Celebrates his 72nd birthday.
Why do the kids like Neil, do you think, Bean?
Because everybody
likes everyone
Neil.
Likes Neil.
Little
yeah.
kids like Neil.
Little kids love
I think
him.
So.
Old people love him. He's the people's champion.
I didn't realize
that's
that.
What Neil Diamond is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Right Show. If you've ever wanted to go to Brazil, we are hooking you up by qualifying you at 9:10 this morning with the Black Keys' latest album called El Camino, their multiple Grammy-nominated album. Plus, I don't know. You get the album and you're on the standby boarding list perhaps for Brazil. Lollapalooza to see the Black Keys one more time. I guess we're taking 10 winners at 9:10 this morning, so you got a good chance of getting in on that.
By the way, that's cool enough that you get to see the Black Keys, but Lollapalooza, you get to see a lot of other bands as well.
Yeah.
So. Round trip airfare for two, hotel for three nights, and tickets to Lollapalooza. 9:10 this morning, then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 all week long here on K-Rock. Details at KROQ.com. How about the Kevin Mead Afro line back on the air? It's been a while. 323-520-AFRO. This is our voicemail that we have set up 24/7. A lot of times people think of things they want to share with us. They can't call during the show or whatever reason. They can call and leave a message and we play it back on the radio. For instance, this message, I think a very generous offer for Dave. As you know, he recently had a great time down in Australia, and this guy wants to keep the party going.
Hey, Dave, King of Mexico. Hey, I got a wombat that you can hug and kiss on the back of the neck. Huh? Get it?
Ew.
See, he was right.
Because he's calling his penis a wombat. Here's a listener who's calling about a very popular program on Spike TV Tuesday night. It's called Joe Schmo 3.
Hey, Ralph. How come you don't talk about the bounty show, man? There's this cool show on. It's about a bounty hunter. And this guy has no idea that they're all actors. And the lead guy on there, he's this crazy, creepy guy, man. Kind of looks like you. But this guy's straight.
Oh, no, he did! No, it is an awesome show, and you definitely ought to be checking it out. We had a mini conversation on the air the other day about whether you pronounce the first R in February. Now, my whole life, I've just called it February and have been fine with that. But I have to tell you, Kevin, the response from the Kevin and Bean listeners overwhelmingly suggests that we should be pronouncing that first R.
But if that's the case, don't you think you would hear other people say February? And you don't.
Well, I don't know who these people are or who they're talking to, but they vehemently were against my plan because they say there's no such thing as a silent R. The first R is in there to be pronounced. I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I don't think my mouth can handle the word February, but that is what this listener's calling about.
Yes, I believe the correct pronunciation is February. And that's because Lisa May is going to be at Santa Anita pounding some brews. Yeah! Woo!
I don't know exactly.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
So it's February, Lisa. In honor of you.
Got it.
See, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yesterday, we had one of the strangest stories that's ever been told on our show. Our friend Kevin Smith was in here, and he told us a tale of how he saved his little wiener dog from an owl that was swooping from the sky to pick up his dog and presumably take it somewhere and eat it. And Kevin Smith picked up a pool toy and swatted the owl away. And he just felt like it was his Jedi moment, like it was what he was put on Earth to do. Well, this listener would like a follow-up conversation about that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could add the wounded owl to the Will of Bad Animal voices. I would like to hear the owl's perspective of the story that happened with Kevin Smith. Thanks.
I think that's a great idea, by the way.
Two sides to every story.
Yep. I think the owl would tell a very different story that might put so-called brave Kevin Smith in his place. Of course, can't do the Kevin Beat Afro line here on K-Rock without somebody calling about Beer Mug.
Hire Beer Mug. Oh, shoot, I messed up.
No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of that. It's not higher. Here's a story we haven't had a chance to talk about. I've saved it, and I hope at some point we're going to get into it. But this is a real thing, you guys. And I only have to tell you what it's called, and you understand what the procedure is. It's a surgical procedure that is known as a fecal transplant.
Nope.
Oh, I know all about this.
Nope.
Yes.
It's a huge medical breakthrough.
No.
Yes, it's very big, and apparently it's coming to a butt near you, Kevin.
Nope.
And that's what this caller is referencing.
I was reading in the paper about how one of the newest therapies for weight loss is fecal transplant. They transplant fecal matter into the gut of the person who wants to lose weight. So I think we all have Beer Mug's best interest at heart when we say to Beer Mug, peace.
Yeah. Well. How does it, without getting into too much detail, Lisa, how does it work?
Well, I think it has to do with changing the bacteria in your gut, which I guess is kind of a hard thing to do. But if you do this transplant, you can actually completely change it, which if you have the wrong kind, it can make you sick and you can have all kinds of intestinal trouble.
We're going to find out in 2 years if this is a giant prank.
No.
College student came up with it, put it online, and everybody's been getting injected.
I hadn't heard about it in like a year, so I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
Here's a listener that, this always happens to, is very disappointed in the Kevin DeBeach.
How dare you?
We are 3 weeks into the new year, and I have not heard a single word about Kevining. You guys are a disgrace to this country.
Okay, I'm fine to retire Kevining.
As a Biden.
But I am not pleased with what seems to have replaced it on Twitter, which is Catherwooding. Have you guys seen Catherwooding?
No. What is that?
It's not something you want, Lisa.
Catherwooding is when you take a picture of your feet and your pants, you know, around your feet while you're sitting on the toilet.
Really?
Yeah, nothing else. All you see is your feet.
Yeah.
But,
and your pants and your underwear.
Yeah.
You don't want
Excellent.
That.
I'm disappointed in that as well. Here's a, I assume this listener is frustrated because he is always trying to call to win stuff on the show and so far has not been happy with the response.
K-Rock, where do you have a winner?
You know what? I already am a winner. Not literally, but figuratively. And how does that make you feel, K-Rock? It makes you feel great that I didn't win tickets again. So why don't you guys have a nice day? A really nice day. I hope you burn in hell. Hi, Lisa, man.
And finally, do we have time for just one quick joke from Sam, the Armenian comedian?
Oh, absolutely.
Try very hard to follow this one and see if you can guess when it ends.
All right.
I went two donkeys to the market to sell, and I said, donkey is for a very low price. One day another donkey seller said to me, hey, how can you sell your donkey so cheaply? I cannot do it, although I pay my servants almost nothing, and I have my servants steal the hay from the fields. Well, I said, it's easy to explain. You steal hay and labor. I steal donkeys.
Anyone? Anyone?
One day.
No. That's it. Oh. Did you get that one?
No.
No.
I didn't even understand that one. Was he selling a donkey?
I thought they were monkeys, and then now they're donkeys.
What are they?
I have no idea.
See, that's the beauty of the Armenian community. It's not that you have to decide whether it's funny or not. You don't understand what it is.
Yes. A joke from Sam kind of lasts forever because you never actually get it, so you find yourself thinking about it days later. 323-520-AFRO. That's our number. Call anytime. It's the Kevin Bean Afro Line. We'll be right back. Today's show is all about the beautiful people. Actress Gemma Arterton is going to be here from the new Hansel and Gretel. Also, Bobcat Goldthwait. Man, is he sexy. He's and hot. The international man of mystery, Doto. Next hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, though, how about a Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have several stories for you today. Air Force searches out porn, other offensive material on its bases. Some women have been complaining that there's a lot of porn on the Air Force bases.
Mm-hmm.
So they did.
Listen to Lisa.
They uncovered more than 631 pornographic movies, videos, DVDs, posters, magazines, and other material that was either stored on computer servers or displayed in common areas where everybody could see it. The hunt also found 31,585 other instances of unprofessional offensive material, including a Ken doll that's in a swimsuit. I kid you not.
Inoffensive? I mean, that's offensive
this
material?
This is political correctness gone crazy. I tweeted the picture of the Ken doll. At the Kevin Ryder, and it's just a Ken doll. He's got a towel on his arm, and he's wearing a full swimsuit. And that was considered insensitive and destroyed.
Really?
I don't know what the story is here, but I'm fine with men and women in uniform having access to porn for private reasons. Like, they don't have enough bad things going on in their life. Give them a glimmer of fun at some point during their day, right?
Right, but if somebody's offended by it, you can...
No, that's why I'm saying private.
Yeah.
Porn in private. I'm not saying rub it everybody else's face, make them participate if they're not interested, but it seems – I don't think that you should be prohibited from having something for personal use.
I agree. I totally agree. But they destroyed all of it, including the Ken doll, which I'm guessing was not being used for sex. Although I don't know for a fact.
That's true. We don't know.
Don't know for a fact. Police in Trinidad and Tobago were dispatched to investigate reports of a gunshot coming from the area of a car parked in the town of Rio Claro. They did not expect to find a security guard slumped over the wheel after having shot his penis off.
No.
He shot it off.
Oh, my God.
It was unattached by bullet.
Mm. That's a bad way to lose your penis.
Is there a good way?
No, there isn't.
The unidentified 33-year-old was rushed to the hospital, adding insult to injury. The guard is expected to be charged with illegal possession of a firearm and ammunition after law enforcement officials discovered he did not have a valid handgun license.
Well, that's not a surprise. He doesn't know how to use the damn thing.
He shot his penis off.
That's a bad story to tell for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Speaking of not treating your penis with care, habitual drunkard Kenneth Gillespie, 64 years old. This is a guy who's been booked, you know, one of those guys has been booked 100 times for being drunk.
Yes.
Right.
He was found half naked and screaming in agony next to the remains of a 5-foot snow sculpture. When he arrived for treatment at the North Central Infirmary in Blackburn, the medics found the booze-soaked man was suffering from frostbite of his penis.
Ladies and gentlemen, he was making that snowman his own.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? he was doing the snowman.
Awesome.
They say occasionally this dude will get trapped in something or get an object wedged up in him.
I love him so much.
But this is the most bizarre mishap yet. Frostbite, of course, can cause infection and gangrene. Apparently, several people in the community are really upset, and they have vowed to dismember him after what he did to the kid snowman. he quote, left a pile of empty bottles, a wrecked snowman, and a trail of frozen juice in the middle of the community recreation.
By the way, did you say erect snowman or an erect snowman? I didn't catch that.
Erect, W-R-E-C-K.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay, yeah. He wrecked that snowman.
He did, yeah. That's a desperate dude right there. Let's take it on the snowman.
He's a goer.
And finally, this one comes out of Phoenix. The 500 block of North Quincy Street prompted a call to police late Monday night when a resident allegedly became out of control while huffing. Another huffing story.
Okay. Oh, it's been a while since we've heard huffing.
According to police, two roommates at a substance abuse treatment center. So this is where it happened, where you're trying to get clean. Alerted a resident advisor that their roommate had been acting erratically and the room was in disarray. The subject was wearing only a T-shirt when they arrived, had a sheet over his head, was allegedly huffing disinfectant spray.
Oh, wow.
The resident reportedly, the advisor called police because he was hissing, speaking in tongues, shaking uncontrollably, trying to eat coins, and had attempted to set his mattress on fire.
Oh, man.
It's a party.
Police say when they arrived to try and speak with the 18-year-old man, he was naked and still attempting to eat coins. Officers tried to take the man into custody, but he didn't cooperate. The officers gave him a warning, but he continued to stay on all fours and growl at them. So they tased him and handcuffed him. Then the man attempted to eat the taser.
Oh, wow.
Police say once they met, the best part's still to come, by the way, for this story.
No way.
Anything I've said is the setup to this next part. Okay. Police say once they managed to handcuff the man, the naked subject bent over with his hands still behind his back. And according to police report, quote, spread his beehole open.
Oh, come on.
And yelled to the police, who wants some? Who wants some? And that's Kevin and Beans Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
I don't get a chance to bring out my St. Patrick's Day music very often. A little early this year, except this story does take us to Ireland, to Kerry County. This is bizarre, by the way. Ireland is a country, Kevin, where 1 in 3 car crashes in Ireland is alcohol-related.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's how everybody socializes, is in a pub.
Right,
I've been there 3 times, not to surprise anyone.
No, Ireland is your people. There's no question about that. So it seems like if you've got that much carnage out on the highways, that what you might be doing is, I don't know, a campaign to go ahead and let folks drink if that's what they want to do, but maybe keep them from behind the wheel of an automobile. Doesn't that just make sense?
Right. Sure. I mean, here they even have the signs that say buzzed driving is drunk driving. All you have to be is buzzed and you're impaired enough that it's not good.
Yeah.
That's why this story is such a surprise, because at least at one place in Ireland, in a southwest county in the country, they have now voted to allow people to drive who have more than the legal limit of alcohol in their system.
They're saying this is, you know, they're small roads and they don't want people staying at home and being depressed and not being able to get out to the pubs just because they're afraid of driving home, you know, with a buzz on, basically. So they're saying it's okay up to a point to let impaired people get behind the wheel of the car. And it's not going over well with everybody in the country.
They're calling it moderate drunk driving. Right. They're saying that's cool. Hey, don't worry about that.
So we wanted to find out more about the story, maybe get maybe there's some details that we're missing. So we asked producer Dave if he could line us up somebody from Gardaí in Ireland. And I believe we have Mr. Seamus O'Leary on the line with us right now. Hi, Seamus. How are you?
Good morning to you. How you doing, fellas?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. Let me clarify something. I'm not from the Gardaí, okay?
Oh, you're not? I'm sorry.
I
apologize.
I'm not a policeman here in Kerry. I'm on the council.
You're on the council.
Oh, you're on the council. Okay.
I'm one of the councillors who voted for this measure.
Now, oh, that's great.
I saw in the story that there...
Sorry. perhaps you should have a drink yourself, you boy.
I don't need no more.
I don't need no more, neither.
It's said...
having a drink. It keeps the cold away, you know.
It said in the story that there were only 8 members there. 12 were missing when the vote was taken. Is that true?
They were all down at the pub.
Okay. I'm not surprised by that. So by a vote of 5-3, you and the other councillors decided... What, sir?
We decided that it's okay. It's completely permissible when the Gardaí pulls over a gentleman who's had a few pints, perhaps, in the pub, and he's on his way home. He's had a touch over the legal limit. The Gardaí are afraid to let him go.
Huh. Free to let him go? How?
Now, but doesn't it fly in the face of a lot of people are already getting in accidents because they are impaired? There's no question that you don't handle an automobile as well if you're drunk.
Well, it's specific to each county. That's how we feel.
Okay.
I mean, I heard the number you quoted there. What is it? 1 in 3, he said.
Right. That's right.
But that's in the entirety of the country, you know.
Right.
That's not in our county specifically, which is a very rural county. And a lot of the people are, driving country roads to and from the pub. There's not a lot of traffic on there. There's not a lot of danger of them hurting themselves or someone else.
I see.
So we think it's permissible if you have a few pints, perhaps some Irish whiskey, and you want to go home, then you're not hurting anybody. Or maybe a sheep or two, but who cares, really? It just means you have a nicer sweater by the time you're finished.
Well, I would think there would just be a danger of just going off the road, going into a ditch, hitting a fence, hitting a tree, hitting a telephone pole. Seems like there's still a lot of ways you could get hurt.
Well, of course, but there's a lot of ways you can get hurt doing anything, you know.
Right.
My brother Michael once was getting out of the bathtub, and he fell on the spigot right into his sphincter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I know. He's still there to this day.
Is that right?
Get him off?
No one cared enough to pull him off. But I'm saying life is dangerous, but what's life worth if it's not where you're not going to have a little drink once in a while?
are you drinking now? Are you drinking right now while we're on the phone with you, sir?
Yes, of course I am. Of course, okay. It's not the same time here as it is there.
That's true. Yeah, your nighttime, yeah.
And I have absolutely no idea what time it is here.
The mayor of nearby Kerry City, Terry O'Brien, I'm sure you're familiar with this, O'Brien, has opposed the motion, saying it doesn't make any sense and is incredibly dangerous.
That's true, but the thing you have to keep in mind is that Terry O'Brien is a massive dick.
Right?
No one likes him.
Right.
And he doesn't like to have fun like the rest of us do.
I see.
And you have to understand, in Ireland and Kerry specifically, that the pub culture there is a big part of our social network.
Right.
And a lot of older residents, especially, if they can't drive to the pub and then come home to their homes, then it cuts them off socially. They get depressed sitting at home without anyone to talk to and without anyone to share their wit and their wisdom.
Right.
Which is what the Irish are known for, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
So there they are, they're just sitting at home feeling miserable. And what they don't tell you is, in Ireland, yes, 1 out of 3 crashes is caused by a driver who's been drinking. But the other 2 crashes are caused by sober people who are so furious because they can't get a drink that they drive into each other.
I see.
So angry that they can't have a cocktail that they go just smashing into people.
Okay.
So actually, it's going to help a lot of situations, we believe.
Okay. I think you've turned me around on it, actually. I think it's starting to sound like a good idea
drunk.
To me.
I have so much to drink in me right now.
Yeah.
I can't even see the phone.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, what's going on?
Oh,
Mr. O'Leary, please be careful.
I think I've had too much to drink.
Oh, no.
But you're known for being able to handle your liquor.
I know, but I'm just, I'm feeling unwell.
No, you're not. Please, Shane. Fine. Oh, no. Seamus, come on. What? Come on. What? Really? Wow.
The inside of my car is now a mess.
Doto.
The International Man of Mystery coming up right after the top of the hour. Then our old friend Bobcat Goldthwait will be joining us in studio as well. Hey, Ralph, are you and Kevin going to throw down on who's taking Gemma Arterton home after the show today?
Well, it's not even a competition. I feel, you know.
I think the one of us that can say her name will win.
Kevin said, I love you, Gemma Arterton.
Excuse me? She, of course, the lovely actress from the forthcoming Hansel and Gretel, joining us later as well. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Before I get the showbiz news, I want to give away a VIP package to attend the Santa Anita racetrack this weekend. It's San Anita Park. There's going to be an infield concert featuring shiny toy guns. There's also going to be all of those microbrews that we've come to know and love at Santa Anita. And there's going to be food trucks there. There's 10 thoroughbred races. This is going to be quite the event. Not only is it betting on the ponies and drinking beer and having a good time, but you get to hang out with Stryker, Cat Corbett, Lisa May, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, and Lightning. All right, forget all that, but you still can play the ponies and drink beer and have a good time. This VIP package includes free admission for four, a parking pass, backstage access, eight drink tickets, a $106 voucher to bet on the ponies. So you're playing with house money the minute you get there when you start making your wagers.
It's pretty cool.
It's all happening this Saturday, the 26th. Gates open at 10 a.m. It's only $5 to get in. You can't beat it with a stick. Oh, and keep in mind, it is rain or shine. This event will be held rain or shine.
What are you yelling at?
Because everyone's very panicked about the rain that we're dealing with right now.
It's okay.
It's okay, people.
It's all right.
It's all right. Some of those horses are mutters, man. Bet on the mutter. Find out who the mutters are and bet heavy. Make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money in the rain in the racetrack with the mutters. Love me a mutter.
I don't know what that means. Horses that run best in the mud?
Yes, Kevin, exactly.
All right.
You've crystallized my thoughts once again. Thank you so much. Joe Simpson may be the greediest ex-husband in history. He is, of course, divorcing his wife, Tina. They are the parents of Jessica and Ashley Simpson. She, Tina, has filed in the state of Texas.
Okay.
He wants to move the divorce battle to the state of California because he believes he'll get a bigger chunk of their family fortune that way. Here's the thing. Tina has already offered him $100 million.
What?
To settle.
What?
To settle.
What?
He's holding out for more.
What?
What?
Yes. Well, look, lubes and poppers aren't cheap, my friends.
What?
This is crazy.
How do they? But how?
Off of their kids.
He's the manager of Ashley and Jessica.
But
he gets 10% of everything that they've made.
But how have they made that much money?
It's for their whole lives.
How have they made that much money?
Well, you take that and then you invest it. I'm sure there's ways to, you know, there's money to be had.
No way. No way. Get real.
Wow.
Yeah.
He turned down 100 mil.
Yeah, he's holding up for more.
Wow.
You know, the Oscars are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a very entertaining show. Just been announced that Adele will be singing Skyfall live on the stage at the Oscars.
Oh.
For the first time ever, she's going to be performing the song live. She's never performed Skyfall live.
No kidding.
So she will take the stage and perform as they salute 50 years of James Bond at the Oscars this year. Now, the other rumor is, very exciting, that for the first time ever on stage, all of the actors who have played James Bond will be on stage at the same time.
No kidding.
They are saying Sir Sean Connery, Sir Roger Moore, Lazenby, Dalton, Bronson, Brosnan. Both of those guys.
Bronson Pinchot?
Yes. Charles Bronson will be there. And Daniel Craig, of course. How about that? We'll all be there on stage for the first time. This is just a rumor. There's no confirmation yet, but I think that would be so cool to see all those guys at one time.
Very cool.
And then you have them fight it out.
I like
it. And the last guy standing gets to be James Bond.
Is that fair to 83-year-old Roger Moore?
Well, listen, Roger couldn't take it. At 43, he couldn't take anybody. But my money's still on Sean, though. I think he's just an ornery old cuss who could take everybody out. Yeah, that'd be cool if that happened.
We might have to put in a call to Mr. Connery as we get closer to the ceremony and see what his thoughts are about
reuniting. I think he likes
you guys.
Really? I don't think he cares for you
guys. He's a big fan of ours.
I don't get that sense. Take a look at celebrity birthdays today. Misha Barton is 27 years old today. Kristen Schaal from Flight of the Conchords. Of course, you know her as the crazy obsessed fan. And 30 Rock. She's very funny on that show. As the evil genius who is trying to
take Kenneth's job and get on television. She's 35 today. Ed Helms from The Office is 38. Matthew Lillard, you know him from, well, I guess, Scooby-Doo, right?
Sure.
No, I'm kidding. He was in The Descendants and SLC Punk. Done a lot of good films. He's 43 years old. And the legend, the icon, the man, the myth, the one of a kind, Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond celebrates his birthday.
Enduring popularity, considering his peak was so long ago, and he still seems to sell out arenas all over the world. It's amazing.
His peak was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he's still 40. Enormously popular.
I mean, he started in the late 60s, really, when he started getting his first hits.
Remember this one?
Balls, 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 balls. First of all, it would be balls, 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 balls. It would be a very different version. We got to get some Coming to America for the next show. Business.
Don't have to.
Oh, yeah. How about every hour we feature a different Neil song?
I think we can.
I'm putting my request in before. They're that. Coming to America.
There it is,
today.
Right there.
Yeah. More Neil in an hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show business.
Just after 9 o'clock this morning, we once again are going to be qualifying you for a trip to Lollapalooza in Brazil to see the Black Keys along with dozens of other bands. That's destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. A free trip to South America. That'd be a prize to win, right?
I think so.
You can qualify with Black Keys' latest album, El Camino, at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6. So we're doing that every day this week here on the world-famous K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com.
It's time.
I need some babe!
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called her?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Woo! And now the further adventures of Johto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
I love Johto so much, and it's so rare that we get a chance to talk to him in person, live and on the phone. Hi, Johto. Good morning, sir.
After all that, really?
Johto?
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi, Bean.
Hi, Do. How you doing, buddy? Happy New Year.
Good. Not too bad, Kevin.
Thank you. I mean, but what's going on with you, Ben? How long has it been since we talked to you on the Kevin and Bean Show?
About 9 months, Bean.
About 9 months?
No,
wow,
no,
has
no,
it
no,
been?
No,
really?
No, that was since June 21st of 2012.
Well, it sounds like you know.
Okay. Wow. It has been an awfully long time. So how have you been? You've been doing a lot of traveling like you do?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Where have you been, Doe?
I was in Hong Kong. Hey, Bean, I told Dave I met a woman the other day.
You met a woman?
Okay, yeah. Great. Tell us about that.
Yeah, okay. I met her at a New Year's Eve party. Then it was a Korean lady. Then about a month ago, then a couple weeks later, we ate dinner at Fashion Island.
You ate dinner at Fashion Island?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
How did that go? Do you feel like it was a good date?
Not too bad. She's about 45, Bean.
She's about 45.
Okay, that's all fine. Right. And did you see her again after that, or was it just you went out one time and that was it?
You know what? With her, there could be questionable.
Wait, she could be questionable?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know.
What gives you the idea that she could be questionable? I'm sorry. I thought you brought that up.
Yeah, no, I'm confused. If you only went out with her one time and then not again, why do you think the date went well?
You know what? She told me that she doesn't do anything at home, Kevin Bean. She's divorced, and she's pretty lonely.
She's divorced and lonely. Doesn't that seem like it's all good for you?
Maybe. Yeah, why not, right, Bean?
Right, because this is America, right, Johto?
Yes, sir, Bean.
That's Kevin, right. But, okay, before we move on, so you guys went out on a date, you thought it went well. Why haven't you seen her again since then?
You know what, I could see her this weekend. I'm going to give her a call and see what's going on.
Okay, I think you should. I think that's great,
yeah.
Doto.
Yeah, we're good.
A lot of people say, you know, wait 3 or 4 days so you don't look desperate, but it seems like you've waited a couple of weeks now.
And she still hasn't seen anybody.
How do you know she hasn't seen anybody? Have you asked her?
Yeah, actually yesterday.
You did? Okay.
And she's questionable, Kevin. Come on, don't forget that. All right. When we exchanged emails a couple of weeks ago, Doe, you told me that your life at that time was a living hell, and I was very concerned by those words. What was going on?
What was going on? Because I was in court for a traffic ticket, and it's dismissed.
That does sound like a living hell.
But don't wait a minute.
It get worse than that.
Being in traffic court for a speeding ticket and getting it dismissed is not bad. So what was living hell? You said it was living hell.
Because I'm sorry, because I was confused.
Oh, okay.
That's Kevin. But
that was me.
So was there a problem? Were you having some difficulties? What was the living hell remark about?
Do you remember?
The officer thought I was on DUI.
You were on DUI.
The officer thought he was on DUI.
But I wasn't. I took the breathalyzer test, and it came out negative.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Right. Well, that again sounds like nothing but good news. All right. So you need a babe, and what's going on with your career now that 2013 is here? Is this the year that you're going to make it in the entertainment business, Doto?
Yeah, it would be nice, Kevin.
Right.
What are your plans? How are you going to attack the year now that it's January?
Now it's January. I have to come up with a plan B.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, no, I can tell you where to start, because to get you on the air, literally it's zero dark 30 here. We have an entire team in a room, and they do nothing but try and track you and get a hold of you, and then we find you on Facebook or someplace else or your email, and then we have to ask you like 15 times if you want to come on. It just seems like, you know, if you want to make it in showbiz, maybe you would make yourself a little more available.
Yes. Yeah, Bean.
That's Kevin again. Right. Jessica Chastain worked 10 years to get you on the phone today.
That's right.
See, that's a reference to the – never mind, Doto. All right. What can we do for you? Is there anything – before we go here, Doto, is there anything you wanted to talk to us about?
You know, what I want to talk to you about, Kevin Bean, is that I would like to succeed.
You would like to succeed.
Okay.
Yes. All right. How can we help? What can we do for you?
See my speech 30 seconds ago.
What can we do to help you, Doto?
Yeah, maybe I can think about trying different venues, Dean.
Different venues like acting?
Yeah. Maybe something like that, Dean.
Singing?
Kevin? That's Kevin, but yeah.
I can't sing, Kevin.
Acting? You can't sing?
Oh, that surprises me. I thought there was nothing you couldn't do.
No, of course I could do everything, Dean.
Okay, so singing?
Interviews, I love that. You know I love to ask questions, Bean.
Okay. I'm more than happy to give you a microphone again and try to have you do some interviews for us. I would love that, Doto. Would you be willing to do that?
What kind of questions can I ask, Bean?
Doto, let me interrupt here and just say that we have an opportunity for you tonight to do some interviews.
Where's it at?
It's at the Hansel and Gretel world premiere.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Nope. Shut up, Dave. We're making progress. Doe?
Yeah.
You could interview the stars. So they come by and you ask them whatever comes to your mind. You know, do you like flan and that kind of thing?
Oh, really those questions?
Well, whatever you want to ask. Kevin is saying you can ask whatever you want.
You just said you wanted to get into doing interviews, that it sounded good. I'm giving you an opportunity tonight. What more can I do?
So, all right, Dave will talk. We're out of time, Doto. Dave will talk to you about this off the air and see if we can set you up tonight.
I don't want Dave in charge. He seems to be predisposed.
All right, Doto, I don't know when the next time is we'll get to talk to you, but we'd like it to be, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks. We'd like to stay in touch with you more often.
No problem.
No problem. Okay, but in case we don't, in case it's a while until we talk to you again, do you have any final words for our listeners?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the man of history.
I'm satisfied.
There's Doto. Bob Scratch Gold Farb. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
It's Bob Cat Goldthwait. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
And that was Blind Melon, for those of you who are in your DeLoreans. A lot of people asking what year it is.
I know, right?
I got thrown off just before we went on. I saw Lisa May's monkey. Boy, that sounded
what'd you call it?
Her monkey.
My monkey.
And monkey. Then I saw this primate she has on her screen in front of me.
Bobcat is a longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. We're always excited to have him on because he always has something going on. And this weekend, he's going to be on stage near home. You're going to be at the Brea Improv. You say that some of your friends are actually coming out to see you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, right?
Yeah, I'm at the Brea. And tonight, I'm at a club called Virgil here in West Hollywood. But I've been doing a lot of shows. I've seen a lot of faces. I rocked them all. I don't think we spoke since I've done the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, I don't think we have either.
You did the Gathering of the Juggalos?
It was a sweet gig, yeah. Did I? I begged to. No. Oh.
Tell people about that.
If you're not familiar with the Gathering of the Juggalos, it's the Insane Clown Posse has a big festival. And if that was where Tila Tequila 2 years ago, they ran out of Faygo soda. They throw Faygo soda at people, and then they ran out of that. So they knocked over some outhouses and just threw human poo at her.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is way worse than getting hit with like Animal Duke, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like if you're
sure.
walking down the street and a buddy, or not you, but me, let's say,
all right,
because that could happen in my circle of friends.
That's true.
And they picked up some dog poo and hit you. You go, ah! It wouldn't be a deal breaker. You'd be, ah, you jerk. But if it was like hobo poo, you'd be like, that'd be the end of your friendship. Yeah. You go, dude.
Probably true.
You know, I got Hep C in my eyes.
Why would you do that?
Swift. So that's the gig I had. It's thousands of people. There's no security because they try to keep it family.
You didn't do that movie, did you?
No, but they see that.
Have you?
Yeah.
That movie's great.
Yeah. Okay. I went on at night. That movie's during the day.
Right.
Now, to the Juggalos, you know, they've only had 6 deaths in the 10 years.
So that's not bad.
Amazing.
That's not bad. Less than one a year with no security.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like, remember that bad Woodstock where it caught on fire?
Oh,
and everybody,
sure.
Yeah,
right.
So it's
right.
Like that. And there's, I think, a lot of bath salts and some other drug people were taking there where they just drop. Like a clump of people would just drop like they were like puppets. Like
wow. Bob, help me understand how you got booked on this.
How did I get this sweet gig?
Well, do the Juggalos fans, does that intersect with Bobcat fans? Do they, for some reason, do they love you?
I truly think they thought I was Sam Kinison.
You just yell enough.
I didn't tell them. They go, ow, ow, ow. Foreigners and women are scary.
You're on stage tonight. To how many people?
I don't want to brag, but at 1 a.m. the tent was packed.
You went on at 1 a.m.
Yeah, and so the opening act was this dude who was like, the audience is just, they're nice. People are afraid of them, but they're really, it's just like a big group of incest survivors, you know what I mean? Like, including the men. They're like, I'm going to get really big and fat and wear clown makeup because no one's going to touch me in the swimsuit area anymore. That means you, Uncle Dave. So Upchuck the Clown's trying to convince me that it's not that bad of a gig, and he's driving me around in a golf cart. And this huge man breaks through the crowd, and he goes, F you, Upchuck, F you! And he just starts punching him. And then he hits the gas, and we peel out, and he goes, it's like a family.
What? These guys. That was the guy that was trying to convince you that it was okay?
Oh, it got worse. Then a can of Faygo hit the golf cart, and then he's trying to put a spin on that. He goes, something like that could happen at a Dave Matthews concert. And then, crack, a can of soda hit him right in the temple, like a baseball pitch, like 45 miles an hour. And then he just slumps over, and he goes, I'm hurt. I'm hurt bad. I'm hurt bad. Steer. And he hits the gas pedal, and I'm steering. It's like Mr. Toad's Wild. Right? We're going right through the Juggalos are diving out of the way.
Oh.
And then I have to go, oh, man, are you okay? But I'm going, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And he's going, hey, dude, am I hurt? And I'm like, I don't know where the makeup begins and your blood starts.
Oh, no.
You know what he put on it for the swelling?
What?
Ice cold can of Faygo.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Full circle?
Sure.
So, yeah, believe it or not, that was not the worst gig I had recently.
Wow.
I was in Arkansas, and I was...
You're going to have to wait for the worst gig.
Okay.
We'll have to take a break.
Okay, take a break. Sorry.
When we come back, we will talk about Arkansas.
I can't believe there's anything worse than the Juggalos gig, but wow. Bobcat Goldthwait is here. He'll have a great gig on stage at the Brea Improv. 2 shows Friday night, 2 shows Saturday, and 1 show on Sunday. Tickets available through improv.com. More in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That, of course, is Muse. Played last night. Saw them at Staples Center. Great show. They have a show tonight, and they have a show Saturday night.
Awesome.
Did they have the spaceship and the lasers and the whole deal?
They had everything, yeah.
Yeah, they do not. It is not a low-key show when you go see Muse.
No.
Two of the beautiful people on the program today. Next hour, actress Gemma Arterton from Hansel and Gretel is going to be here right now. The beautiful Bobcat Goldthwait in our studio.
Oh, pshaw.
He is performing at the Brea Improv. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night, and then one on Sunday, improv.com. What's the name of the place you're working it out tonight, by the way,
Bobby? It's the Virgil, I believe, and it's at 7:30 in West Hollywood. And if you need a ride, I'll swing by.
That's nice. That's very kind of you. Right now, right before we had to take a break,
we were talking about my worst gig recently.
Worst gigs, yeah.
Arkansas.
And worse than the Juggalos, you
yeah.
think.
Yeah, oh, sure. And I hate to be the kind of comic that goes, hey, I was just in Alabama, and those people were blah, blah, blah. You know, but, man, Arkansas. At one point, I was laying on the stage. I hated the crowd so much, and I go, not only have I never said this before, I have never thought this. I am better than you. I am
really?
Better than all of you.
You said that laying on the stage?
Yeah, that's when it got a little dicey.
Were they just not laughing?
Oh, no. They were
just... Were they being obnoxious?
It was a combination of heckler and then, like, people just wandering up, like, wanting to poke me and take pictures while
really?
I'm on stage. Oh, sure. Oh,
wanting
sure.
to poke you?
Well, it was just like, a lot of my shows, it's like nostalgia for people. They come out,
right.
you know, and they're very disappointed that I'm not going, ah! You know, right, for 45 minutes, which seems like it'd be funny, but eventually it'd be a drag for all of us.
You were most.
Yeah, me mostly. Yep. Hey, how you doing?
So you laid on the stage and you actually said into the microphone, I'm better than all of you.
Yeah, I'm better. Like an epiphany. Like suddenly. The other time I had an epiphany like that was actually, I don't know if I ever told this story, but it was in Atlanta a long time ago in the 80s. I'm headlining 4,000 people, outdoor amphitheater, and Dennis Miller was my opening act. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
And he was a Democrat, so it's really a long time ago. And I'm on stage, and I keep getting, Freebird! Freebird! The whole show. And there's just... It's just terrible. And finally, I snap. I go, listen, you ignorant crackers. Leonard Skinner's dead. They're dead. They're dead. There's no chicken in the breadbasket picking out dough. The war's over. You lost. Slaves have been emancipated. Leonard Skinner's dead. And then I look over and these like woolly leg biker looking dudes are climbing up on the stage and nobody stops them. And then they get closer and they've got around their neck, Leonard Skinner, Survivor's Tour, 87.
Oh, my God.
That's why they're yelling Freebird. Skinner was in the audience.
Oh,
and it was
no.
the first time I used my real voice on stage. I go, Tony, get the car. Tony, get the car.
But, Bob, what did they want you to do?
They
didn't want you to sing Freebird. What were they asking you to
they
do?
They didn't even care about me. They were trying to get Leonard Skinner's attention. You know,
oh,
Freebird! You know, so they were trying to get them to turn around.
You had no idea when you were saying they're dead?
Well, I'm on stage. I think it's about me at
of
that
course.
Point.
Of course.
I don't think, hey, maybe Leonard Skinner's in the audience.
But what's awesome is that you're in Georgia, you know, which is like the heart of the Confederacy. And
oh,
you're
sure.
on there talking about how they lost, and the
yeah.
war is over, the slaves are emancipated,
well,
and blah, 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 blah.
That's old Bob behavior.
Sure.
now
your behavior now is what?
No, it's now I just make movies about
stage.
This stuff.
That's
because
true.
Then I don't have physical contact with people.
Ah,
they
I
go
see.
See the movies, and then I can hide.
Bob, I love your movies, the last couple that you've made, the World's Greatest Dad and the God Bless America. You know that we're fans of your movies, but I do have to ask you one question about something that you did in the past, because there's a little bit of a resurgence online. I don't know if you saw this article from screened.com the other day. Is Windy City Heat the greatest mockumentary ever made? And it's about this whole cult following that movie has, and all these
yeah.
new people that are discovering it all the time. Like, it's not a film that was made and then just vanished. It's a film
that
grows every single year. And I wonder what your relationship to that film is now.
Oh, I still I directed the movie, but I can't take credit. There's so many pieces to that puzzle. But it is really funny.
It's a 15-year program.
Yeah, it's like a 15-year
yeah.
gag, you know? So, I mean, I love it. I think it's still funny. Sometimes we're all still – it never ends. You know, I was in London, and my wife – the phone starts ringing. She goes, you should answer. It's probably important. I go, oh, okay. Oh, hello, Perry.
Now,
you'd have to know all the characters to know why that was funny.
Now, yeah. this Perry guy who's just weird beyond words that you guys mock.
You guys essentially Joe Schmoed him. I mean, you
yeah.
pranked him for years
well,
believing that he was involved in making a movie.
I am Perry's pal. I mean, I think...
were you happy to hear from him or were you like, oh, no?
Oh, yeah, we keep in touch, Perry and I. Look... You know, that's what my wife always says. She goes, you love crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you know, as soon as I do kind of collect crazy.
Well, if you love Bobcat, or if you have Jimmy Kimmel's sense of humor, or you know Mole, who calls our show, you need to see this when you see the Heat Kids, if you haven't. I mean, Bobcat, just to tell you one thing, Bobcat plays a director of a movie within the movie. He never talks unless he's yelling at people through a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Every word in the movie,
you don't need that all the time. And I go, well, if I don't use the bullhorn, I forget to use it when I'm directing. Oh, okay.
And who needs a bullhorn less than Bobcat?
Yeah, you know, no one's ever said, what did he say? But, you know, speaking of Kimmel, he's getting his star on the Walk of Fame tomorrow.
Crazy.
Right.
Which is awesome. But, you know, I used to direct the show, and then I got out because I said, I don't see this going anywhere. I got to get out. I got to distance myself from this loser. No.
How long did you direct that show? A couple years?
I directed it for about 3 years, 300 and some episodes. But I couldn't be prouder of Jimmy. But, you know, my wife called up trying to get me a star. And she didn't tell me. She was trying to do it for a surprise for my 50th birthday.
Aww. Right.
And she calls up and she goes, you know, I wanted to see what's the procedure. And they go, well, who's it for? And they go, Bobcat Goldthwait. And they go, you need to call another line for the posthumous, for the deceased.
Awesome.
<No. laughs>
She goes, he's not dead.
That's the best.
And she goes, why? It's my husband. I know he's not dead. And she's like, I don't know. Like, the woman wanted to argue her. I'm pretty sure Bob Scratch Goldfarb slipped off this mortal coil.
Bob, that's funny. It's so sad, but funny.
It is sad, but funny. We cry and we laugh.
So my daughter's listening right now. She's I'm so proud of my daughter. I really am. I mean, people say this stuff. She is a stylist. She does the costumes for commercials. She does and costume design a movie last year.
Listen, coming from you, I can see a stylist.
Oh, no, but I'm sure. Yeah, I know. You're right. High fashion. That goes without saying.
Right.
Everybody who's anybody is wearing coonskin caps this year. So I'm very, very, very proud of her.
But?
No.
I know you better than
I know she's nothing. Like, well, I'm trying to pad this a little because I don't want her to cringe too much. But this is a true story. I get a text. She was working on this thing that Russell Brand was in. And I get a text and says, Dad, it's an emergency. I have diarrhea. I went into Russell Brand's dressing room. I'm in his bathroom. Now, she knows she's not supposed to do it, but it was an emergency. She's like, what do I do? He came back in now, and I'm trapped in the bathroom.
She's texting you from his bathroom, and he's in the trailer.
Yeah. And so she wants to know what to say. And I say, here, make him feel uncomfortable. Just swing open the door and go, hey, Russell Brand, I had to change my tampon. You know, Shark Week. And my daughter texts back, Dad, I love you. You're the best. Now, she thinks I'm trying to help her out of an uncomfortable situation. Really, I'm like going, what can I have her say so Russell Brand won't try to bang her?
Well, it worked on all levels.
It worked out, yes. But my daughter, she works on the she's got her own career. But you know, it's a family affair when we make a movie. My wife is a costume designer. My daughter works on it, does behind the scenes. My brother, everybody.
That's how you make all the movies for under $50, Bob.
That's
how
the
family.
That's the Bob Wood way.
Hey, listen, we got to take another quick break. Bobcat Goldthwait is here. He's going to be performing all weekend long at the Brea Improv. Chance for the hometown crowd to get down and see Bob. 8 and 10 o'clock Friday night. Two shows on Saturday at 7 and 9, and then the 7 o'clock Sunday show. Go to improv.com. Hey, you want to stick around? Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next, Bob.
Oh, I'd love to.
Right after the top of the hour, actress Gemma Arterton joins us in studio. She is Gretel in Hansel and Gretel. Bobcat Goldthwait in with us. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, Gemma, of course, first came to my attention, I guess, as Strawberry Fields in Quantum of Solace, the James Bond movie. I remember seeing her in that. And we'll have to ask whether Daniel Craig ever dropped his pants around her while they were filming. Because a story out of the New York Post this morning says Daniel was recently in a gym working out, because you got to work to keep that body.
Sure.
You have to tell me. I mean, Daniel and I have very similar physiques.
Sure you do.
And he was pumping iron, and his pants fell down. His gym pants fell down.
Okay.
He was wearing some loose pants, and it just dropped to his ankles. And onlookers said they were stunned. He wouldn't stop his set. He kept working out, even though his pants were down.
You
got to
keep your momentum going, Ralph.
I'm saying, I would pause, maybe, and lift my pants up before I continued with the workout.
Then you got to start the reps all over again.
Yeah. You think the ladies just start circling him like a school of sharks once his pants, yes. once his pants drop?
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
That's what they all asked. Yeah.
Let's not be rude to our guest. Bob, you know what a gym is, right?
No. No. How dare you, sir? He's inside a dude?
No, no.
I was so confused.
It's short for gymnasium.
As soon as his pants fell, I just envisioned yakety sax.
Betty O comes out there patting him on the head.
Yeah.
Are you on Twitter, Bob? I don't know.
No. Oh, Grandpa's not on the Twitter.
Like the tweet?
I am on the Instagram though, because I'm sure. Very visual.
You are. You like your photographs. Yes. Yesterday was a very funny day on Twitter. I've heard about it or not, but our mutual buddy Jimmy Kimmel had a bet with Julie Bowen of Modern Family. They had a foot race around the block outside his studio in Hollywood.
Yes.
When she was a guest.
She won, I'm taking it.
The bet was Jimmy won.
Oh. Wow.
He's lost some weight recently.
Surprise. Oh, I know.
He's in shape. The bet was that the winner of the race would get to take over the loser's Twitter account for 24 hours. So yesterday, Jimmy Kimmel had Julie Bowen's Twitter account and was tweeting out messages as Julie to her followers and to everyone else who was interested. Here are some of the tweets that Jimmy came up with yesterday while he was running Julie's account. Hi, I'm Julie. I'm a star, so y'all best treat me that way. Hashtag no scrubs. Hey, at Tom Cruise, do you like me a Modern Family? Hashtag fingers crossed. Sorry, at Courtney Cox, you're not all that. I am. Hashtag the future. Acting is so easy, and you make so much money, he tweeted as Julie. And my favorite one is like, why do people like Justin Bieber? The only thing worse than his music are his fans. Hashtag truth. That got a lot of responses from nice. All the believers out there. So it was a very funny
Bean got mad at that one.
Yeah, exactly. Bean wrote a strongly worded letter. And lastly, good news for those of us who enjoyed Bored to Death, the HBO series.
I like that show.
Jason Schwartzman and Zach Galifianakis. This show was canceled at the end of 2011, but The Hollywood Reporter has announced that there's a new Bored to Death feature film in the works.
No kidding.
I would go see that.
I believe I would, too.
Ted Danson, also in that show. Very funny. He is... He's a good guy. That's Schwartz.
I'm trying to get the Small Wonder movie going.
Finally, you're going to get that off the ground?
Yeah.
So you're going to reboot it? You're going to reboot the franchise?
You know they're rebooting Police Academy.
No way.
No way.
No, they really are.
But isn't the horse dead by now?
Well, they're going to do what they did to 21 Jump Street. They're going to make it a comedy this time.
But I'm
Yeah. Snappity-doo. I still got it.
Have they contacted you and Winslow to come
to
back?
A cameo?
To make some cameos?
No. I think I would do it, you know, but...
We know you would do it.
Well,
you're playing Virgils, for God's sakes.
Hey, look, I have standards. I did the Juggalos. You know, there was other festivals, you know, I could have been doing that Jimmy Buffett show. And I said, no, I'm holding out for the Gathering.
Someone wrote and said, is there a Shakes the Clown connection with the Juggalos? Do they associate you somehow?
No, not at all.
He said he asked on stage. And
I go, hey, you guys like Shakes the Clown? Is he here? Who's Shakes the Clown, man? That's
so funny. Today, celebrity birthdays. People born on today, January the 24th. Misha Barton from The O.C. is 27 years old today. Kristen Schaal from 30 Rock and Flight of the Conchords. Very talented lady. She is 35. Ed Helms of The Office, 38 years old.
And The Hangover, Kevin's favorite movie of all time.
That's right, yeah. And Hangover 2. Which was very different from the first. I don't know if you saw the second one or not.
I did.
It was a departure for that franchise. I hope the third one. I hope they go someplace and get drunk and forget where they are and what happened. That would be entertaining to me.
I've watched the second one about 10 times.
You're a jewel.
I know.
I don't want to push it, but have you seen any of the movies I've made?
I've seen all of your movies.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
I've seen all of your movies.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard.
American Dad was great. That was good.
No, that's an animated series.
Oh, that's not animated.
That one. I'm sorry.
No. You were in that movie. Remember?
That's what I get all day long. That's my life.
Remember? You? Yeah, I remember. I was there. I'm not Carrie Busey. I haven't had head trauma.
Yeah, this is a little late, but the holiday season was over. We had I did the show with Kevin Smith at Hollywood Babylon, and by the way. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. If you want to go to csmod.com to get your tickets. We're doing a late night show on Friday at 10. But anyway, we were having a debate on stage about what the greatest Christmas movie of all time is. And we came to the mutual conclusion that Scrooge is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. Speaking of movies that you were...
Scrooge, it has legs. It holds up.
It really does. Boy, that's a great film. You're really good in it, too.
Thank you. Yeah. I take compliments poorly. You do.
Yeah, I noticed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it gets really quiet.
You got quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Virgil's, I got a reaction out of you.
Virgil,
Scrooge,
like,
nothing.
Scrooge, hey, you were good in something. Yeah, what do you want? You dirty so-and-so.
You just don't buy it. Is
no,
that
I
it?
Know. I'm, yeah. It's like, all right, let's move on. Hey, who else had a birthday recently?
Well, the reason I got up this morning, Bob, is because the legend, the icon, the man, the myth, Neil Diamond celebrates his birthday today.
Yeah.
Neil is 72 years old today.
72 years young.
That's
now,
right.
Have
yes.
you ever seen him?
Many times in concert.
Yeah, me yeah, too. Yeah.
What's
just
happening?
Together.
I was telling these guys, the last time I went, I took my folks, and I went out my way to get some really nice seats, spent a couple bucks to get them really good seats, and I look across the row from me, and there's Jimmy Kimmel on the other side of the aisle. Just can't get enough Neil.
Well,
he loves Neil.
Well, when I saw him, oh, there's a guy going, I am, I said! I am, I said. Like he's going to forget, you know. And then he goes, you know, this guitar only plays old songs. I hope you don't mind hearing a couple of the oldies. Like he's going to get like experimental on your ass. Like he's not going to do it. Yeah.
This is a song I recently recorded with Deadmau5. And I hope you like
it. Neil didn't break out his dubstep chunk?
Yeah, no, he did.
The last time he came out with new music was
80s?
No,
he's got an album every couple
he's
of years.
Got his traditional Jewish Christmas album that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, he loves not the a Christmas real album. Music.
I'm yeah. saying an album of original music that he's
just
written.
Had one.
Today! He had one. All right, can you, know little, you know where he recorded it?
Today!
No!
In America!
Wow. Today!
Can somebody please hit the button?
Wow, we've got someplace to go.
Around the world. Come to America
today.
Every time that flag's unfurled, they come into America. Got a dream
T-J.
To take them there.
Yeah.
They come into America
yeah. today.
Got a dream they come to share.
Yeah.
They come into America.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It just makes you want to be an immigrant, doesn't it?
Not at all.
Makes you want to show up at Ellis Island with your little
sure.
satchel in each hand
sure.
and just like, get off the boat.
Like
that's
FIFO?
Not good.
FIFO the
like
mouse.
FIFO?
Exactly.
I always wonder who was working at Ellis Island when my ancestors got the clean pass and they didn't change the name. Goldway. Yeah, that's pronounceable. Sure. Everybody else is brown.
That's right. Gold.
You've gold.
Been gold.
It was right there.
Oh, they blew it. Mm, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Lizzie in Brazil. That's the destination number three of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. 1 hour from right now, you'll win the Black Keys' latest album, El Camino, and be qualified for the trip. Details at krock.com. Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves. Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
give
name.
Give me another go.
I've tried it like 10 times. Gemma Arterton.
It's hard to say.
It is, right?
And I do have sympathy for you.
You say it. So that
well, Arterton.
Arterton. But I can say it that
you
way.
You say it that way. Yeah. Say it, just do an English accent. And,
I don't do accents. But
I also can't say your last name in English. So.
You can't do anything.
That's correct. Wow. She's been here 30 seconds. She's already figured out Kevin.
Quite perceptive.
I think Kevin's point was radio whiplash yes. alert because Bobcat steps out the door and in walks Gemma. So first of all, it's an upgrade for us. But second of all, wow. Talk about a difference. She, of course, is here because she is starring in Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which opens everywhere on Friday. Good morning. Welcome
Good
to
morning.
The Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you.
We were just saying, as you were walking in, Kevin and I are a little far removed from reading fairy tales. I don't know that I have any idea what goes on in Hansel and Gretel. Of course, I'm familiar with the name. I know it's famous and stuff, but I don't even know the story.
Really? I think that you're one of the first people I've ever spoken to that doesn't.
Here's the weird thing, is that we had this conversation before you yeah. came in, and I said, because I thought, I'm the only one. Am I the only one that doesn't remember?
I'm sure you're not the only one.
Okay.
But yeah, you're the only one that I've met.
Okay.
So that's the main thing.
Worthless, the only one that you've met that doesn't know the story of Hansel and Gretel.
So is this is like a 150-year-old fairy tale, right?
Yeah, it's originally a Grimm fairy tale. It's very, very famous in Europe especially. And it's about these two kids that get abandoned by their parents and left to wander the forest. And they find a big old gingerbread house. And are lured inside by a wicked old witch who wants to eat them, and then they kill her.
Ah.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
150-year-old spoiler alert.
Yeah. If you've been living under a rock for the last.
Now, I have a suspicion, just based on the awesome television commercials that I've seen for your movie, that this is not a children's fairy tale anymore. You guys have amped it up, and it looks terrifying.
Yes. Well, it's R-rated, so it's pretty shocking. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of humor. It's about Hansel and Gretel, what happened after they killed the witch. So 15 years later, they've grown up, and now they're bloodthirsty witch killers, professional witch killers. So we wanted to make it R-rated so that we could really do whatever we wanted and be unconventional and shock. And but as I said, there's this undercurrent of humor underneath, which makes it fun, you know.
And I've been reading with the interviews that you've been doing leading up to the movie that you and your brother in the film, played by Jeremy Renner, have a real kind of like a brother-sister relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it just came naturally to you two, which I find fascinating.
And we found out 2 days ago that we actually have the same dad in real life.
How about that?
That's convenient.
That is interesting. I know. Isn't that something?
It is.
We were brought together by fate. No, we just naturally had such a good chemistry. And he's very, very fun and easygoing and has a great sense of humour, which is actually, this movie is the first time that you really see that in his career, really. So when we met, it was just straight off, you know. We love each other and we could beat each other up at the same time, you know. So it was...
That's brother-sister.
That's brother-sister. Is this the first... action lead that you've played?
Yeah, I usually play like princesses.
Yes.
You know, prim and proper. But actually, I've always wanted to play this sort of action kind of role because that's more me, actually, and I'm a bit more of a boy. Tomboy,
nope.
I guess. You
nope.
know, well,
yeah,
I feel
true.
Like that,
that's
okay?
Fine.
so, no, this was my first foray into...
Now, what kind of stuff did you have to learn for this role? I mean,
oh, God.
Bow and
I had
arrow,
to learn to
swords.
Beat up. People
fighting. Okay.
There's one bit where I beat up 4 guys. That's right.
Wow.
Take them down. And then I have to, you know, I had a crossbow, which was pretty this weird machine gun like crossbow, which I had to do all these flips and jumps and blah 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 blah. It was really good though. I mean, I had to do lots of falls, and we get really beaten up. Hansel and Gretel get pummeled, so we had to learn how to take a punch.
How
as well.
To take a punch.
Hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't sound so fun.
Is that one of the reasons you wanted to do this movie? Is because you wanted to...
Yeah.
I mean, because it's so different from everything else? Have you been able to do all the physical stuff and everything?
Yeah, because it was a mixture of the physical stuff and then the comedy, which, I mean, my character is very dry. She's got the sort of British sense of humour. Very. But I think
you could play British, Gemma.
Do you think?
I do.
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
you
I'd have to work
coach.
On the accent, though. Yeah. it was, and also because Jeremy was in it already, and he's such a great actor, and I would have worked so closely with him. And also the special effects and everything. I mean, when you see the movie, everyone keeps saying, oh, but the CGI, and I'm like, there is no CGI, it's all real, apart from backgrounds and things like that. And there was animatronic trolls and loads of prosthetics everywhere and witches everywhere. And
that sounds complicated.
It was fun.
It sounds like
it was technical.
I'd be afraid I'd mess it up every time, and then there's 50 people that would be mad at me.
Oh my God, once I was doing a movie, I was doing the Bond film, and there was I kept getting my lines wrong, and each time I got my lines wrong, they had to reset helicopters, lorries, and it was just
the pressure.
And then each time they were like, just get it right. You could feel them all going, just get it right.
And it makes it harder because now you're more nervous and more nervous.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. I would never forget that.
This is the voice
That's
of actress Gemma.
That's my daily life, just so you know.
The voice just of actress Gemma Arterton here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I didn't know that much about you except, you know, the last few years with Clash of the Titans and Prince of Persia. You mentioned the Bond film. I mean, it seems like it's exploded for you in the last few years. But you've done so much stuff. I mean, you've done Shakespeare on stage at the Globe Theater.
Yeah, I've done. I mean, that's what I do really mostly is theatre, and yeah, I did. I trained as a classical actress at RADA, which is this here school in London, and yeah, so that's where I started.
So when you're in any kind of situation where all of a sudden helicopters have to be called back because you screw up a line, you must be looking around going, how did this happen? Like, how is this my life now?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is basically the main thought that goes through my head on a daily basis.
I go from there to here?
Why am I here? Yeah. What's going on? Who's going to jump out with a video camera saying, ah, only joking.
Go back home.
Yeah. It's great, though. I mean, I always thought I would be just on stage, and that's always what I wanted, but this stuff is a bonus. It's just fun. Yeah. You know, it's great.
Yeah, a lot of actors, they just want to work. You know, if I could just make enough to be an actor, I'll consider that a success. The last thing you expect is the kind of career that you've already carved out in the last few years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a real gift. It could all end tomorrow. If it does, I'd have had a good time. So
I'm guessing it won't.
You don't know that, though, do you?
I don't know. I know I want to
you
see your movie.
You don't know anything, remember?
That's correct. Sorry.
Boy, has she figured Kevin out. The movie is called Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. It opens everywhere tomorrow. We'll take a quick break. Kevin, you want to try pronouncing our guest name again as we come back?
Gemma Arterton.
Yeah!
There you go. We'll be right back on Kevin. Listener Andre writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I have fallen very deeply in love with your guest. I trust you are all doing the same. That's what Andre says. Yes, Andre. In fact, we are the beautiful Gemma Arterton in studio with us.
You
Kevin
said it wrong.
Show. That was close.
That wasn't bad. There was a slight slur.
You just have to go through it quickly. Then you can't tell where you messed
up. Just go, Gemma.
She is half of Hansel and Gretel. I'll let you guess which half. Witch Hunters, which opens up everywhere tomorrow. Hey, is there a girl fight in this movie? Did I hear something about that with you and Famke Janssen?
There's a few girl fights. Yeah, I have a girl fight with Famke Janssen.
She's tough.
I think I actually did break her rib, though. Which
really?
In real life, yes.
Okay. You're like, I'll show you.
I was, yeah, you know.
You think you're an action star. Watch this.
Yeah.
Is it with weapons or hand-to-hand, or tell me about the fight?
It's a hand-to-hand fight, and I headbutt her in the end. And there's a knife involved. The good thing about fighting witches is that they're all women, so I got to fight all these women, which is really rare.
Yeah.
Right. I had quite a few fights with various witches in this. Jeremy as well. I mean, he gets to be quite violent. I mean, he had to really punch some women. And then one of the...
I would think that would make him super uncomfortable.
It did. And especially because some of the stunt doubles, I think one did to actually get punched in the face by accident, obviously.
Yeah.
By you or him?
By both of us. Yeah, I punched her in the baby maker.
What the hell?
Like, yeah. I quit.
I know.
She was
tough, though. I mean, she took it well. that's the nature of doing stunts, I guess. But, we have these girl-on-girl fights, which is fun.
Now Bean's in.
Yeah.
Totally. Everyone come to our film.
A lot of girl fights.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy. You mostly live in London, right?
I do.
Are you one of the unfortunate celebrities who the tabloids have gotten their claws into you and follow you everywhere and take your picture every time you leave the house?
No. Do you know what? I'm okay, and it's because I've been quite forceful with my boundaries, actually, and they know
that's
not
possible.
To, yeah, from early on, I told them not to mess about with me, and they're pretty respectful.
But Gemma, it seems like they're worse in England than they are here.
They are.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
And they don't care if you don't want them to.
Yeah, they are. They are. I don't know.
You threaten them physically?
I got a knife and I said, look,
I know how to
dare.
Fight.
No, I don't know why. I think I've been very, very lucky. And
key is to be boring. That's what you need to do.
Are you insinuating that I'm boring?
No, I'm not.
I'm saying that's the only reason I can think that they would, because such a big star, they would leave you alone only if you were only giving them boring pictures.
I think that's the truth, actually. You give them a nice picture. You don't stumble out of a club with...
Right.
You know, drunk, and you go. Right. If you do go out, you don't go anywhere that they know about, or whatever. You know, there's a way of doing it.
And don't call ahead and let them know where you're going. Some people do that.
Yeah,
that's
not
good. You're right. A lot of people do court it. So, no, I'm lucky. I mean, it could change. Who knows? But and also the British public are generally quite. They don't like to give you any credit where it's not. You know, if they see you in the street, they
leave you alone.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
They don't want to act starstruck.
No. That's giving too much away. I mean, you
they
know.
Don't want to give you any credit.
Yeah,
so they'll think to themselves, hey, I liked her in whatever.
Yes.
But I would never say anything to her.
No.
Wow.
That's too much of an admission.
It's too emotional.
Yes.
Well, that's nice,
but
though.
It's
I mean,
good.
That works in your favor.
It,
yeah.
It's good. And it's the same in a lot of European countries. It's like that.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I always think I understand why somebody would get into acting, and I understand why it would be seem like a fun career. But the downside for so many people is becoming that famous. You know,
yeah.
When you're doing the kinds of movies that you do, I would imagine sometimes you wouldn't even want to stay in the business because of the,
of
the press.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, and you have it perfectly. I mean,
right.
I mean, even Jeremy was like, I can't remember the last time I went to the supermarket and didn't get hounded.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, that's something that I do like daily. And I walk around in my pajamas and stuff in London. Everyone in my neighborhood's like, oh.
Yeah, right, give us an address. There she is again. She won't put on real clothes. Can't believe it. You shot this film in Berlin. You said during the song you love Berlin.
Yeah.
Why?
Berlin is, if anyone wants to have a fantastic trip away, go, because it's just the most densely cultivated city that I've been culturally. And it's got this humility to it, which is really, I think, because of its past, it's got this real humility to it. And it's very, very left-wing. And there's great music, great art. It's beautiful. It's cheap to live in, so everyone's pretty free. They can go out and do whatever they want. Mm. And we shot Hans and Gretel there. And I lived there for a good 5 months. And, I absolutely fell in love with it.
It's Renner fun. Went out every night, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
show
Renner.
Up with a load on.
We do. Yeah.
Well, we've learned a little something from your visit today. So you walk around in your pajamas in public. We got
yes.
that.
Check.
You recommend Berlin as a hot spot for vacations
yes.
for our listeners.
Check.
Yes.
And we
you broke Famke Janssen's
rib
in
check.
A fight.
Check.
And we
check.
Should hit your stunt double in the face if we ever see her.
Check. She enjoys it.
Yeah.
good
times. The movie is called Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. It looks so great, and you have just done nothing but make us want to see it even more, Gemma. So I'm
good.
So happy you stopped by today. We really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd like to point out for the record, by the way, that Gemma Arterton was awesome, and yep. I wasn't the tiniest bit creepy. Not even a little bit. Not
you
even
know,
a hint.
You weren't.
Wow, that's true
Please
and shocking.
Note. And what? She's beautiful, and she's British, and she's fun and personable, and I still was a perfect gentleman. Just
what
for
happened?
The record,
yeah, but why?
I would just like to say.
Why?
Yeah.
Because
going
you guys
on.
Always assume that I can't handle
no, because
a conversation.
Never have before,
you've never
ever.
Been able to before. Well, I'll put this one in the win column then. Would
this
you
is a questionable column.
Yeah. Are you sick?
Dr. Drew is the co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, and of course, Dr. Drew on call, airing weeknights at HLN, and now back together with his friend Adam Carolla on the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast at adamcarolla.com. How's that been going for you and Adam together, Doc?
Really good. It's been oftentimes number one download on iTunes, and there's also the Dr. Drew podcast, which is doing very well, which are these long-form interviews I'm doing with people, which have been going really well. But I was just thinking, Bean, you may not have been creepy to the young lady, but this next topic I understand you guys want to discuss is a creepy transition.
Now, when you say you guys want to discuss, I was hoping that we had forgotten about this topic.
No, it's fascinating.
We could talk about anything else.
Oh, it is fascinating.
I read about it.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
Lisa's done it, I think. She just doesn't want to admit it.
It came up earlier this week. I started seeing references to something called a fecal transplant, and although that sounds like a metal band that Psycho Mike would be into, fecal transplant apparently is a real thing that people are using to fight diarrhea. And why don't we start with that? Diarrhea, people don't realize this, is one of the world's great killers, right, Doc?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, throughout history.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those sorts of infectious diseases can be very damaging. Think of cholera. That was basically a diarrheal illness. Suffice it to say that that's a significant issue throughout human history. However, this particular kind of bacteria is called pseudomembranous colitis, and it's caused by a bacteria called Clostridium difficile. And it's actually usually caused by an overgrowth of the Clostridium caused by the suppression of bacteria by antibiotics. So it's kind of the overuse of antibiotics that's created this problem.
And that's something that a lot of doctors have been worried about for a long time, is that we are using so many antibiotics now that they are becoming less and less effective for more and more people, right? And that's putting us into real danger.
Well, right. The bacteria, so to speak, are smart, and they learn to become resistant to the bacteria, the antibiotics rather, and that's precisely what has happened in the case of the Clostridium. It now is really difficult to treat a lot of the time, particularly with recurrent cases, so people have been getting desperate and trying to figure out ways to treat this thing.
Okay, so
now,
what they
hold
do
on a
is,
minute, if you don't mind. If you're eating breakfast, go ahead and just back up from the table just for a second until we finish. I'm just giving you a heads up.
So what they do, if I understand in layman's terms, Dr. Drew, is that they take poop from one person and they put it in the stomach of another person?
They either feed it down a nasogastric tube, like something up in the nose like you see in, you know, movies where people are supposed to be sick. There's a tube in their nose. And then it goes down into the small bowel, or they do it through a colonoscope. They actually go up the other end and do a colonoscopy. But
this is all bad.
It's all creepy, but it's not like they're taking a piece of hard stool and cramming up somebody's focus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The stool is carefully treated. It's really fecal. It's another way of another name for this is fecal bacteriotherapy. One day we believe soon. There's basically going to be a freeze-dried pill of bacteria that you take, just like probiotic therapy. It's the same idea.
Okay.
Okay, but can't you just picture, like, if I'm the guy who's got the diarrhea and it sucks, and they come to me and they say, well, we're running out of ideas, the antibiotics aren't working, but we can put this guy's poop in you. I just go, well, I'm saying goodbye to my family. It looks like I'm going to die.
Always a difficult conversation. The other thing is, where do you get the poop donor?
Homeless people.
Psycho Mike.
Homeless people.
Psycho Mike.
There really is a future for being here, I'm sure.
Look, we say this all the time on the show, Dr. Groot. Thank God there are smart people like you and others in science and in medicine and other fields who are willing to try these things and do this work. Because if it was up to us to come up with this idea to save people's lives, this idea just would never happen.
It seems extreme. It almost seems like you can't imagine it. But the basic problem is the normal bacteria flora is killed off by the antibiotic.
Right.
And by introducing normal bacteria flora, hopefully they'll take hold and overgrow, and they do. It's actually quite an effective
therapy.
That's
what I was going to ask. We haven't asked yet if it works.
It does work.
What?
It's quite effective. And And again, the Clostridium is resistant to antibiotics. C. difficile is very resistant these days, and it's a serious and potentially dangerous infection.
How long till we get the pill, Doc?
I think it's coming. I think it's going to be quick.
I hope
people are sort of recoiling from the idea.
Because I'm going to hold off as long as I can.
Well, they still have to decide, you know, which is the best therapy. Do you put it in with a colonoscopy or do you do it with a nasogastric tube? So these things are being studied, but I think it's going to get worked out pretty soon.
I think I'm with Bean at this point. I've lived a good life.
And, yeah, that's right. Plenty of time.
See y'all on the other side.
I'm curious from Bean's perspective, which is a more difficult conversation? We want your kidney or we want your poo?
Oh, kidney is easy. Are you kidding me? That's no danger in that conversation. But even with the poop, Kevin, so they come to you and they say, all right, we're going to force you to do one of these two.
No.
Do you want the poop down your throat or do you want the poop up your butt? Which way are you going to take the poop?
Hey, Doc, they can knock me out, right?
Well, for the colonoscopy, yes. But I love the way Bean frames that conversation.
Yeah, it's real sweet, isn't it? I think I would, whichever one they could put me to sleep during is the one I would take.
Well, if you were looking for fecal transplants, you've come to the right show. Dr. Drew is on Loveline Sunday through Thursday at 10 here on K-Rock and on call airing weeknights at 9 on HLN. And be sure to check out the wide variety of podcasts, including the Agnum and Dr. Drew show and the Dr. Drew podcast as well. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves. Gemma orders. I can't say your last
name. Give it another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
Yay!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I knew he wouldn't let me down. I knew it.
Ralph heard
Kevin. No way Kevin's going to say her name right and disappoint me.
Ralph heard me mutter through it yesterday and laid down the law that nobody else was supposed to try it.
That's right. I said, nobody introduces her but Kevin.
In Kevin's defense, it's a tough name.
Thank you, Bean.
Arterton is a difficult name to say.
Arterton?
Yes. No, just showing off.
Arterton is very difficult to say.
Yeah.
I can't say Arterton. I couldn't say it over and over again.
All right.
Lisa, don't you find that Arterton is difficult to say?
Arterton is difficult
yes,
to say.
I think yeah, Gemma Arterton is a very difficult name to say.
How about you, Beer Mug? You have any trouble with Arterton?
All the time.
Nice work.
Nice
work on Pickpack for
See,
being there.
The joke is that Bean says it and Ralph says it and Lisa says it effortlessly. That's the joke. So you're supposed to step up and say it effortlessly.
Oh, okay. I got
to
work on my improv.
Oh, dear God.
8:55. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. That
Not
was priceless,
only
Mugs.
Is Gemma Arterton my favorite guest so far of the new year? By far.
Yeah.
But that was one of my favorite breaks of the new year, because it was like a Gatling gun. It was a semi-automatic weapon of just Kevin bullets.
It was just bad after bad.
I don't know anything about Hansel and Gretel. Do you find that a lot of people? It's like, well, no, I'm sure there are people. You're the only one I've ever met, but I'm sure other people. It was just boom, boom, bang, 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 bang. We should have Jim Lampley in here describing the break as it was going on.
I have her right where I want her.
Because Kevin was just getting body shots and just shots to the head. It was
bang,
brutal.
Bang, 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 bang.
It was great.
I think she loves me.
Yeah, I think that could happen.
I'm pretty sure.
That could happen. This is a showbiz-related story that struck me as sad. That this is the world now we live in. Gentlemen. Named Wynand Mullins. Wynand Mullins.
That is sad.
No, I'm not in the story
the part,
yet. Was getting on a flight in Sydney, Australia, flying Qantas. Yeah, definitely Qantas. He was there on Sunday night wearing a T-shirt that the stewardess promptly came to his seat and told him to remove.
Wow.
It was a T-shirt that had a giant image of one of those Hello, My Name Is tags that people wear at parties and meetings and stuff.
Right.
And in the part where you write in your name, it said, "Hello, my name is," and then it written in there, it said, "Inigo Montoya, you killed my father to prepare to die," which is hilarious.
Yes.
That's great.
Because it's from The Princess Bride, and everyone knows that line, and it's a very clever T-shirt because it's got that label on it, and that's written in there. Well, the stewardess came over and said, "You cannot wear a T-shirt that says, prepare to die, on a plane flight, because everyone's getting very agitated."
But
he didn't wear a T-shirt. It was just written in block letters, prepare to die.
Right.
And he didn't walk in with a crazy look in his eye, carrying a box cutter. It was, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepare to die."
Right, it's part of a movie.
A classic line from a classic film that everybody knows.
And if you're worried about the guy, really, do you just have him change the shirt?
If he takes the shirt off, there's no way he's going to kill us.
This doesn't make any sense.
You remove the motivation of his funny T-shirt.
Remove him?
but
not his shirt.
Yeah, it was quite the hullabaloo on the Qantas flight.
So how did the rest of the passengers who were agitated by the message on the shirt, were they cool with him just changing shirts and staying on the plane?
Well, here's the thing. She came over and said, "You have to remove it because the passengers are being intimidated." And he said, "Oh, well, all right, but I don't have a change of clothes, so I hope the pilot will lend me his shirt."
That's funny.
She stared at him. He said, walked away, and then did not return to his seat for the remainder of the flight. So he never actually took the shirt off.
He left?
No, she left. She left him alone for the remainder of the flight. She never came back.
Oh,
with
I see.
Another shirt for him to wear.
Huh.
He said, "Look, I don't have another shirt. Bring me another shirt, and I'll change it." She never showed up again, and so he continued on with his flight.
Should have brought him a blouse.
That would have been funny. One of the stewardess outfits. But he said, "I found it a bit comical," but he said at the same time,
wow,
"I was surprised that they would take my T-shirt so seriously."
Yeah. We've seen people have to change their shirts because, they have the F word on them or something like that, or people are wearing what some consider inappropriate clothing, showing too much skin or whatever. But
yeah,
this is the first time I've ever heard of, "We think he's a terrorist because of his wacky
Wait
movie quote T-shirt.
He likes the Princess Bride." Someone call the air marshal.
Well, what if you didn't know the Princess Bride? I mean, then are you worried or no?
It's still a T-shirt, right?
I agree.
I just want to make sure it's still a T-shirt we're talking about, right?
I'm with you.
Then you know what? No, I'm not
concerned. Right.
Unless his T-shirt is made of woven explosives, I'm not really concerned about what his T-shirt says.
All right.
Yeah. I would be more concerned if he was wearing an Ed Hardy shirt than I would be if he was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Prepare to die." Because I don't trust those guys at all. Bam Margera is returning to television. He is doing a new reality competition game show.
Reality competition game show.
Where contestants have to do ridiculous stunts in order to win cash and prizes.
Jackass type stuff?
Yeah, like one of the stunts includes answering trivia questions while dangling above a pool of trash-filled water, dropping a watermelon on a target after being shot out of a cannon, and things like that there. So it sounds very Jackass-esque.
And you gotta watch that.
Bam will be the host. It's going to be on TBS starting sometime soon. So glad to see Bam getting back on television. Sundance Film Festival going on as we speak. They're going to unveil the new Steve Jobs biopic starring Ashton Kutcher. People are going to get an advanced look with there. I'm guessing not good.
That's what I would think, too.
It'll be out in theaters in April, by the way. You can check it out for yourself. But it's a big buzz about everyone looking has the same questions we do. Is it going to be any good or not? Looking to check it out this weekend. So, and I thought this was an interesting article from the OC Weekly. List of the most messed up rock stars ever. How do you pare that group down?
Wow, right.
They have their top six listed in the OC Weekly this week.
I mean, just the ones who have died choking on their own vomit, I think, would automatically go to the top of that list.
Not all are dead on the list. You'd be surprised.
Oh, then Keith Richards.
Messed up rock stars, the most ever. Ozzy Osbourne was sixth on the list.
Sure.
They say he's like your crazy uncle now, but back in the day, he did it all. Still alive. Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
Fifth on the list. Sure. Still alive. Sean Ryder, lead singer for Happy Mondays. They say ate ecstasy like chiclets. Heroin, crack, all of it, still alive. Number three on the list, Amy Winehouse.
Sure. Up until you got to number three, I was beginning to think the message for the kids was do drugs.
No, because number two is dead as well. Johnny Thunders, lead guitarist for the New York Dolls, was known as the Dean Martin of heroin.
That's quite a...
I don't know how that works.
I'm guessing he carried his heroin around in a martini glass wearing a tuxedo. That's the only thing I can imagine.
Huh.
Dead. And number one, Kevin, you nailed it. Keith Richards, number one on the list.
Has to be. He snorted his dad.
Still alive.
Come on.
Still freaking alive.
What does the guy have to do?
And by the way, not only still alive, but in his 70s and still playing guitar as well as he ever has.
Rocking.
I mean, that's what's shocking.
Rocking. So that is the message, kids. I think do drugs because you'll probably turn out okay.
Like it.
Do a lot of drugs, you'll probably be okay. That's our message.
I don't think that's our message.
Well, I have scientific evidence here, Kevin. I don't know what your message is, but I am a man of science. Giving a heads up, everyone, again, tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I do our Hollywood Babylon show at a just-added late-night Friday night show. A lot of people have been complaining because we've been selling out, which is great for us, but a lot of people want to see the show, haven't had a chance.
Well, you are sellouts.
Here's your chance, Friday night at 10 p.m. Go to csmod, S-E-E-M-O-S-M-O-D.com for tickets and details. Today's celebrity birthdays, Misha Barton of The O.C. is 27 years old today. Kristen Schaal from Flight of the Conchords and 30 Rock turns 35. Ed Helms is 38 years old. And Matthew Lillard from The Descendants, SLC Punk, he is 43. Neil Diamond also celebrating his 72nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey, you know how it is in your mind when you make a connection between two people that you either didn't know or had forgotten about? Like when you first found out that Super Dave Osborne and Albert Brooks were brothers. You know,
right.
It just kind of blows your mind. You go, wait, that's a bizarre connection between those two people. I had one of those connections yesterday that just blew my mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what it is.
You and I are brothers?
Very close. You and I have something really, really close to being in common that we would never have suspected. Who do I hate more than anyone in the world? Who's my Adolf
Dane
Hitler?
Cook?
Worse.
Oh, that's
worse
a good guess.
Dane Cook. Worse than Dane Cook, yeah.
Who do you hate? Who do you hate?
Look around the room.
Oh, beer mug.
Think, beer mug.
Obviously, right?
All right.
Beer mug's the worst human in the world ever, right?
Thanks.
Who does Kevin hate more than anyone in the world?
Al Roker?
Yes. Al Roker and Beer Mug are the same person.
What are you talking about?
They don't look the same.
Start putting the pieces together. Think about it. Who has crazy up and down weight? Who's losing weight, gaining weight,
losing weight, gaining weight?
Right? Who is unkept and slovenly and probably poops his pants?
Well, we know Al poops his pants.
We do know Al did, yeah.
So I guess.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Right. Look, is there any question in a billion years that Beer Mug doesn't poop his pants? Come on.
No, there's no question about that.
And then the final piece of the puzzle was, I don't know if you saw any of NBC's coverage of the inauguration on Monday and the parade and everything. Al Roker was their man on the street. Al Roker was the guy who was... who was out there on Pennsylvania Avenue watching the president and the first lady walk down the street with the Secret Service and the parade, the inaugural parade and all that stuff. He was the guy who was out there doing interviews in the crowd. And at one point, he decided he was going to get an interview with the president as he walked by.
Right.
So the president's walking by. Al Roker's on the side of the street. He's about 15 feet away. Here's what Al Roker does.
Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President!
Sound like anyone you know?
Certainly does.
Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President!
Still sounding like someone you know?
Yep.
How's it going? Fantastic.
Wow.
That's huge.
There you have it, the first interview with the newly re-inaugurated 44th President of the United States.
Wow.
Okay? Okay?
Wow.
Who do they cheer? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy, Walk the Moon. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here.
So your ultimate enemy and my ultimate enemy are the same. What do they say?
The same enemy.
The enemy of your friend is your enemy. Isn't that something how the expression goes?
No, it's the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe it doesn't apply. But my point is that Al Roker and Beer Mug both need to be put down. And that'll make Kevin and Bean the happiest little guys in the world.
How's the weather was his question.
Yeah. That was his one big shot.
Wow.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
I guess every station has their beer mug.
You know what? And Mug, one day, will have a gastric bypass.
That's probably true.
There's no question about that.
So.
One day within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to thrift shop down the road. I'm going to pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting,
looking for a comer. This is awesome. The people love it.
106 to let Carson Daly stop picking our music.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
That is number one this week on the Billboard charts, by the way, Ralph. That song. Number one in America. Isn't that weird? I would not have predicted that either.
Yeah.
I must be honest. Thrift Shop. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis here on K-Rock. 9:35. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz feed on a Thursday.
Before I beat you, how about some tickets to a very cool event? Let's say you're sitting at home. You're saying, you know what? I watch these shows. I watch your Entertainment Tonights. I watch your OMG Insiders. And I see all the celebrities walking the red carpet, living the good life. I see Beer Mug there on the red carpet interviewing all the high-profile celebrities.
Or yelling at them.
Getting a chance to hang out with all those people, become best friends with them, play drums for their bands.
And sure.
Tell Richard Dreyfuss how he went to his movie when he was a kid. And you say, I'd like to be on the red carpet. I'd like to go to one of those big-time showbiz Hollywood premieres. What about me? Why has life turned its back on me? When's it my turn? When do I get to stand in the sunshine?
The answer, never.
The answer is now.
Oh, now.
I've got passes to the red carpet world premiere of Warm Bodies.
Yay!
This looks awesome. It is a rom-com with zombies. It's a zom-rom-com. Nicholas Holt stars as a zombie who falls in love. And it's the power of love that brings him back to humanity. John Malkovich also stars in this film, along with Teresa Palmer. If you'd like to see it at the Red Carpet World Premiere, January the 29th at the Cinerama Dome, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get tickets to go see Warm Bodies. And if you don't win, don't feel too badly, because the movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, February the 1st, and you'll be able to check it out then. People loving the February, by the way.
No, I'm sure they are. It's caught on. You've really ignited that debate in America again, though, Ralph.
February is very popular. Even Gemma Arterton likes February. A lot of R's in that sentence.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, did he cheat on Selena Gomez? Was that the problem between those two crazy kids? Well, if you believe Star Magazine, that was the problem. Sources say there was an evening where he was smoking a lot of pot with his buddy rapper Lil Twist. And a young lady was also there named Mimi Jensen on December the 21st. They've even got the date. So him and Mimi are kicking back, sucking down some scissorp. And the next thing you know, boom, they knocking boots, yo.
Really?
Yep. She left shortly afterward, and Bieber was telling friends that he's acting like he's single. Of course, he wasn't at the time. He was seeing Selena Gomez, and her little Nickelodeon heart was shattered. Or Disney heart, or wherever her heart is kept. So that could have been it. That was the nail in the coffin there.
She was not down with that?
Wrong coffin. Wish it had been Justin Bieber's coffin, but sadly it was the coffin for their relationship. She did.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Fisker. Never heard of a Fisker? Shut up. Ice-T, he's upset. His wife may not be the faithful kind we all thought she was.
Oh.
The lovely and talented Coco. Pictures surfaced over the holiday
of Coco and rapper AP9. Kissing, hugging, squeezing. At a party in Vegas, and he posted them on his Instagram. Well, everyone started talking about her infidelity. Is she being faithful or not? She says that that's as far as it went. It was just inappropriate pictures. She was goofing around. That's all it was. Ice-T even addressed it on his Twitter account, saying he wasn't pleased, but, you know, everything's fine in their marriage. Well, now AP is saying that he's got even more provocative photos of Coco, and he is shopping them around, looking for someone to buy the totally nude photos of Coco that he took of her in his private room in Las Vegas, Nevada. And now other men have said they've had a tryst with her and that there may be more incriminating evidence yet to come.
This would, I know we always make fun of me, go, oh, if those kids can't make it, no one can. But the truth is, they have been married for like 20-something years and do appear from the outside, especially on their TV show, to just be happy and young and in love. And it seemed like they were going to make it.
Yes, but then also, she's got a great ass! In the words of Al Pacino, so there's that to consider as well. When you got an ass like that, you just can't keep it to one man. That you ass can't. Like that's going to be spread around.
That's true.
You can't chain that thing down.
No, you really couldn't. You literally couldn't. And she
has to live free.
And she literally has to spread it around because there's so much ass there. So who could blame her? That's what I'm asking.
But I still loves Coco, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay,
it says it right there
so.
on the show in the opening credits. Fox has pulled the plug on its sitcom, Ben and Kate. The show was very popular with critics and with the small audience it did garner, but never made big enough ratings for Fox, so they are pulling it and replacing it with back-to-back episodes of Raising Hope starting next Tuesday.
What difference at this point does it make?
Well, people love Ben and Kate, and now they can't love it. Because it's not on the TV no more.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Linda Lohan's in the news. Of course, she's just finished her most recent film, The Canyons. Reportedly features her doing a naked four-way sex scene. Famously, we've been talking about that. Now, however, producers are having trouble finding anyone to distribute it.
Really?
We may never see it. We may never see it, which could be a blessing in disguise. But
you'd have to see that, wouldn't you?
No one is stepping up.
If it came to the theater, you would have to see that.
Yeah,
it
I would
sounds like
check
a
it
disaster.
Out.
But the question, Kevin, to Ralph's point in the story is: would you be the person confident enough that people would pay to see it to put your own money into distributing it to theaters?
I will buy that film and then I will send it out into theaters and hope to make a profit. Is it a wise business decision? Sure, we all have a morbid curiosity, but can you make money off the canyons?
Big ones, right?
Lindsay's been making money off of her canyon for some time now.
That's true.
But could you make money off of the film, The Canyons?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. Lindsay's movie was rejected by the Sundance Film Festival. And yesterday news broke that the South by Southwest Film Festival has also decided to decline on showing the film. Citing, and this is their quote, quality issues. That's the most polite way I've ever heard of someone saying a movie sucks.
That's what gets this show into problems all the time.
The film has quality issues. And so we are declining to screen it at our film.
Wow, that's the kindest way to say it.
I love that. Let's keep that in mind. And by the way, we're paying a lot of attention to how far Lindsay's career has fallen. Ralph, I'm sure you're fascinated with seeing that this is Paul Schrader, the writer and director, who is one of the all-time film greats, written, you know, Taxi Driver and American Gigolo and I think Raging Bull. I mean, just a phenomenal body of work. And he can't even get a movie put out anymore.
Yeah, well, look what he's doing. Look at what the movie he's making. His own wife read the script and she said, well, she didn't finish reading the script. She threw it back to him and said, I'm not going to read this. This is pornography, basically. I have no interest in reading this film. Why are you doing this film? Why? She kept asking, why are you doing this film? And he said, I must make this film.
Crazy story.
In retrospect, not a wise choice.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah, so we may never see it. One of the problems, potential producers who have seen the film say the reason they don't pick it up is that 90% of its audience has already had four-way sex with Lindsay Lohan, and so they're not interested in seeing it on the big screen. So that would be a draw. But, you know, been there, done that factor.
Sure.
Plays a role. And James Bond is going to be saluted at the Oscar ceremony that's coming up. They're going to talk about the 50th anniversary of James Bond and celebrate moviedom's most successful franchise. Rumor has it that all of the actors who have played Bond are going to appear on the stage at the same time for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That's the rumor. The fact is, Adele has announced she will be singing Skyfall, the theme from the most recent Bond film, live for the first time ever on stage at the Oscars. She is nominated for an Oscar for that song, and she's going to perform it live. So we know that for a fact. That'll be part of the Bond celebration. But whether all the Bonds will show up or not remains to be seen. I think that would be one of the all-time great moments in Oscar televised history.
They could pick her up and just carry her around the stage, the Bonds, as she sings.
How many Bonds are there? Might have to recruit a couple other Bonds.
Some Teamsters come in and help
maybe the
out.
Guy who makes gold Bond medicated foot powder. I mean, anybody, Barry Bonds, anybody who's close would have to pitch in. Just saying, she's not a thin girl. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton. You remember her from the OC?
Sure.
She's 27 years old today.
Okay. Is that it?
Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Schaal from 30 Rock. And Flight of the Conchords, he's 35. Ed Helms from The Office and, of course, the Hangover movies. He is 38. Did you ever see Grand Rapids, the movie he made?
I don't think
with,
so.
With
Anne Heche.
And I almost said C. Thomas Howell, but I know that's not right. John C. Reilly.
Right.
Yeah. Great, great little comedy. Loved that film. If you haven't seen it, check it out on DVD. Pick it up. It's very entertaining. 38 years old today. Matthew Lillard from The Descendants most recently. He's 43 years old. And singer Neil Diamond.
That was his biggest hit.
You can play your little games with your little audio clips, but it is not acceptable for you to taint the memory and the legacy of the legend that is Neil Diamond with your little comedy pranks.
It was balls, Ralph, not taint.
I insist on hearing some genuine, actual Neil Diamond to celebrate his 72nd birthday today.
Everywhere around the world.
What I'm talking about. Bring it home, Neil.
They're coming to America.
That's right.
Every time that flag's unfurled, they're coming to America.
And then
why
remember,
not be? This is America.
That's right. And then remember this big hit?
That birthday song. That's the wrong song.
It's a live version? It's a little live
version? Great Neil Diamond, live.
Sweet Caroline, but Love on the Rocks will do. That's cool.
Yeah. He talks a lot during his show.
He does. So do people.
Love on the Rocks. Ain't no surprise.
He's lost his step. Let's be honest.
He was. Neil.
Oh, Neil.
He sounded better, that's all I'm saying.
That, of course, was our friend Money.
Yeah.
Matt Money Smith, former sportscaster of the Kevin.
A little drunk karaoke.
Doing a bad rendition of Love on the Rocks. That is no way to celebrate a man's birthday.
How dare you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning and all new Kevin Beach Show. We have Katrina Bowden on the show from 30 Rock and Maxim Magazine.
Yeah, that's all right.
We have LaQuisha taking a look at Buck Wild. She's very happy with this show, I feel. She's supremely happy.
I feel the exact opposite.
Really loves it.
I get the sense.
Movie Beat, because it's Friday, we have a brand new edition of Thanks for That Tweet, Bean. We have comedian.
Maybe the best batch ever, may I say right now.
And
what are you talking
and
about?
And that's a tough category.
That is.
The best
I look
ever.
At over and said, I'm not given easily to hyperbole,
yeah.
But as I look at these, maybe the best batch ever.
I can't imagine what you're referring to. Well, you'll hear tomorrow. Frank Caliendo, comedian, will be in the studio.
Wow.
And another man's name who I cannot pronounce, Guillermo del Toro, I think.
You did.
Did I
that
do that right?
Right? Yeah.
We'll be on the show talking
no
about...
No one introduces Guillermo tomorrow except for Kevin.
Yep.
Talking about his movie Mama. So that's coming up tomorrow morning on an all-new...